Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text 14. Sandishtyaivam Bhagavata
Sandishtyaivam Bhagavata
Tateit Yom Iti Tad Vrachaha Pratigraha Kraya Prari Kramya Gamgata Tat Tata Karat Sandishta. Having been ordered, evam, thus, Bhagavata, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tathaiti, so be it, om, affirmation by the mantra om, iti, thus, tatvachaha, his words, Pratikriya, accepting the order. Parikramya, after circumambulating him. Gum, to the surface of the globe. Gata, she immediately went. Tat, the order, as given to the by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tata, just as Akarot, executed. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya immediately agreed. With the Vedic mantra Om, she confirmed that she would do what he asked. Thus being accepted by thus having accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she circumambulated him and started for the place on earth known as Nandagokula. There she did everything just as she had been told. Purport. After receiving the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya twice confirmed her acceptance by saying, "Yes, sir, I shall do as you order." And then saying, "Om, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur," comments that Om signifies Vedic confirmation. Thus, Yogamaya very faithfully received the Lord's order as a Vedic injunction. It is a fact that whatever is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a Vedic injunction that no one should neglect. In Vedic injunctions, there are no mistakes, illusions, cheating, or imperfection. Thus, one understands the authority of the Vedic version. There is no purpose in quoting Shastra. No one should violate the Vedic injunctions. Rather, one should strictly execute the orders given in the Vedas, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 16:24. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vivyastito gyatva shastram vimdanoktam karma kartumi harasi. One should understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act, so one may gradually be elevated. So the translation again. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya immediately agreed with the Vedic mantra Om. It's confirmed that she would do what he asked. Thus having accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she circumambulated him and received and started for the place on earth known as Nandagokula. There she did everything just as she had been told. At the very introduction of the Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada points out that Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, and the question is, why should we accept what he says? So many people speak so many things. Why should we accept Krishna, what he says? And Prabhupada points out that there are many authorities that confirm that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Vyasadeva, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya. But in one sense, we don't really know who these people are. They're just names to us. If it said the Beatles said, we'd probably have more faith. Because we listen to the Beatles, not everyone listens to Ramanujacharya. On the other hand, not only authorities confirm, but Arjuna confirms. But then again, Arjuna was Krishna's friend. People have, when you're friends with someone, you sometimes say things which are not 100% accurate, just to defend them. So Prabhupada Prabhupada asserts that actually there has to be a certain amount of faith, acceptance, at least theoretically, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if we immediately reject the idea that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there's no way of understanding Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is based on revelation. In other words, it's describing things which we may capture intellectually, such as the fact that our body is changing, but we're not changing. But that's capturing it intellectually. We can confirm that I'm still the same person, although I have different bodies, which are constantly changing, my body is constantly changing. But I don't know who I actually am, and I'm not 100% clear what it means to be a spiritual soul. But I have some intellectual understanding, and according to Bhagavad Gita, the reason why I don't have that understanding is that I'm an illusion. Well, that makes sense. I don't think, if we don't understand something, we're probably an illusion. But why we're an illusion, according to Bhagavad Gita, is because we rejected Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But why should I accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why not accept my teacher in school as the Supreme? Maybe that will free me from illusion. So at least if one wants to get any benefit from studying Bhagavad Gita, one at least theoretically has to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what's considered to be faithful. Blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear it submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. In other words, we're not supposed to blindly accept Bhagavad Gita as true. First of all, we're blind, that's a fact. So our acceptation of Bhagavad Gita has to some extent, could be blind, could be fanatical. I don't know why I'm accepting it, but my friends accept it. My mother accepted it, so I also accept it. I don't know what it is, what Bhagavad Gita is saying, but I accept it blindly. But that's condemned, because if one accepts something blindly, one will not make the effort to understand it so one can understand it properly. And then the other thing is absurd inquiries. Maybe I can find out in Bhagavad Gita who's going to win the next horse race. So I study it very carefully to try to figure out, and I find the verses that confirm who the next horse is. The next horse's winner will be, his name will be Ashvatthama. It says that in Bhagavad Gita. Born of the ocean of nectar. No, absurd inquiries are also condemned. We should know what the Bhagavad Gita is dealing with. It's not dealing with horse races, or how to become a perfect tennis player, or how to make $1 million in the stock market. It's dealing specifically with self-realization. So therefore, if one wants to go to Bhagavad Gita, just like Prabhupada gives the example, if one wants to find gold, the best place to find it is not in a grocery store. If one is so foolish as to go to a grocery store and ask for a pound of gold, and you ask how much it is, it's approximately 1,800 euros per ounce, or whatever it is now. And they give you an ounce of butter and you pay 1,800 euros for it. Then you're cheated, because you don't know what you're looking for. So we go to Bhagavad Gita, we should know what we're looking for, what Bhagavad Gita can actually supply, not something which it's not meant for. So both are condemned. On the other hand, hearing submissively is a beginning process of hearing. Submissive means we're actually paying attention. If we think there's some other subject matter more important than hearing Bhagavad Gita, then while we're listening, so many things will go through our mind, because we're conditioned souls, and we'll actually pay attention to them. It's one thing, things going through our mind. The other thing is that we pay more attention to what's going through our mind than hearing Bhagavad Gita. For that reason, Bhagavad Gita is written down so we can go over it again and again. Unfortunately, when there's a lecture, we can't rewind the speaker, so he goes through the same thing again. In any case, submission means that we're not only hearing it, we're trying to hear it, but with the idea of service. Sushushu shara dhanasya vasudeva kata ruchi, or tachadana. That's it. Sushushu shara dhanasya. So sushushu means, su means very nicely, amply, our minds are open to what's going to be said. Sushushu. And we're willing to follow the instruction. It's not just an intellectual exercise. Armchair philosophy. We bat around the philosophy just like one bats around a tennis ball from one mind to the next. No, it's actually meant for a practical application. Unless we can find the practical application on some level of what we're hearing, we're not really taking it seriously. And shraddhanasya means, Prabhupada translates it as care and attention. And as we do our service with care, we haven't really increased our devotion and attention. First of all, attention. We have to actually focus in that this is actually important, what I'm doing right now. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more desirable. And therefore, I should do it very nicely, as much as in the mode of goodness as I can, with as much devotion and enthusiasm, whatever I can, because that's how I get the maximum benefit for whatever I'm doing. Without that, people are morose, and they're always looking forward to the result. They're never really enjoying the activity. They're hoping to enjoy what the result will be. Even one becomes enjoying the activity, but there always has to be some result. I may enjoy playing tennis, but I have to win the match. So I enjoy playing it, hitting the ball, taking all my frustrations out on the ball, hitting as hard as I can. But ultimately, the real satisfaction is my false ego when I win the game, that I'm better than someone else. I defeated them. So only when there's care and attention can one actually spiritually, transcendentally enjoy the activity. But care and attention to the, as it says here, to Krishna's instructions. Tasmat shastram pramanam te, that ultimately coming in control of the super soul, coming in contact with the super soul, is what brings us into transcendence. Not just care and attention, but care and attention that brings us in contact with Krishna. Because Krishna, just like the sun, is the source of sunlight, and if the spark wants to get warm, it has to go into the sunlight at least. Outside of the sunlight, the spark stays in a hole in the ground. No matter how carefully it pays attention to the ground, no matter how nicely it does, it tries to glow in the ground, it's still in the ground. It has to go into the light to actually get the maximum benefit. So, here, Yogamaya is dutifully doing her service. Of course, she's very enthusiastic about it. And at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't bother speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna unless he's actually submissive, at least. The beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is not self-realized, but at least he's submissive. So blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should hear, not only hear submissively, otherwise we won't hear anything. We're just wasting our time. The speaker is wasting his time speaking, and the so-called listener is wasting their time because they're not really listening. So there has to be some desire, some willingness to serve, but that's not the end of the story. Although for Arjuna, at least it was the beginning. Karpanya dosho, pahata svabhava, prichami svandharma samudha cheta, it's chayasta nishtitam bruisame, shishasteham sarinamam twampapanam. Now I'm confused. Now anyone who thinks they're not confused, that they figured everything out, don't bother listening to Bhagavad Gita, because you already know everything. You know more than the speaker. So Krishna Arjuna, at least he realizes, he feels confused, he can't figure out what to do, and therefore he says, I'm confused about my duty, I have lost my composure. We may put up a show of being confident and know what we're doing. People walk down the street and they greet each other and they say, hello, how are you? Oh, I'm great. Oh, fantastic. It's the next moment they're, oh my God, my life is a mess. So it's just a show. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what life is all about. But they put on a show protect their false ego. Like in Spain, they say, if there's a fire in your house, what do? You call the neighbors? No, you shut your blinds down so the neighbors don't see the fire and embarrass you. So that's material life. But Arjuna was at least knowledgeable enough, humble enough, intelligent enough, karpanya dosho, that now I am feeling depressed, dosha, these miserly weakness, I don't know what to do, there's something wrong. So therefore I'm a soul surrendering to you, kindly instruct me. So Arjuna didn't say, well, go wash the plates, go take out the garbage. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, take out the garbage. No, he had to instruct him the science of Krishna consciousness. It wasn't just doing, it was also understanding. It was also doing, but also understanding what they were doing, what he was doing. And not only understanding what he was doing, but doing it skillfully, with care and attention. So Krishna had to speak the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna to convince him why he was doing it, what he should do and why he should do it, and how to do it. So by the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Krishna was wondering, I just spent 2 hours at least talking to you about Bhagavad Gita. You look like your eyes were awake. I don't know, sometimes they closed a little bit, but did you understand anything I had to say? Krishna was actually interested. Kachit etat sutam parata, tvaya kagrena chetasa, kachit agana samoha, pranatas te dananjaya. Have you heard this knowledge with perfect attention? Arjuna didn't say, yes, that was a fantastic, Krishna book class you gave. but I think I'm leaving. I think I'll watch it, the war on television. Just send me the Zoom account and then I'll watch it. No, Krishna was wondering, do you have actually been paying attention to what I've been saying? Otherwise, how are you going to understand it? Because Krishna had told Arjuna, yateshati tatakuru. If you have any questions, if you haven't understood something, I'll go over it. So Arjuna said, nashto moha smritya labdva tat prasada maya chuta stito smigata sandeha karishe vachanam tava. Yes, I've actually paid attention. And what's the proof? Now I can repeat it back to you. I've understood it, what you said. not only I claim I pay attention, but I actually can repeat it back. I've understood it. I can summarize it. And my illusion of being this body has been gone away. And I remember it. I'm actually your eternal servant. And it didn't come about because I'm such a nice person. And actually, I'm always aware and self-realized. It's by your mercy. I feel gratitude towards you. Not that I'm free from illusion. I regain my memory, and so long. I'll see you next lifetime. Thanks a lot, kid. I'll see you later. No, I feel gratitude. Tat prasada mayachud. Stitos min gata sandeha. Now I've understood I'm your eternal servant. And I should always feel gratitude for your instructions, and therefore I'm prepared to follow your instructions. So Yogamaya wasn't, you know, I'm your servant, but I need a break. I'll see you later. Get someone else to go to Vrindavan. It's not good weather there right now. I think I'll go later. No, she was eternally grateful to Krishna because being Krishna's eternal energy, Yogamaya, she's always in bliss. She gets the highest happiness in service. So she's always happy to get instructions. Conditioned life, someone tells us to do something and we want to do the opposite just to show them who's the boss. I'm not surrendered to anyone. I never bow down to anyone. No, in spiritual life, one is happy to get in the instruction because by serving the instruction, one gets even more closer to the person who's giving the instruction and feels more happiness and bliss in that loving exchange. So one is anxious to get instructions. Not that the guru comes to town and everyone hides. Or they throw the flower and then they disappear. Because they might give instruction. And I don't want to embarrass the guru because I'm not going to follow it. I might not follow it. He doesn't give me the right instruction. He says, do this. Close. Give another instruction. Well, do that. You're getting closer. Do this. Wow, you hit the jackpot. All right, I'm into it. I'm surrendered. He finally gave me the instruction I'm going to be surrendered to. Now in spiritual life, every instruction, even instructions which are not very pleasant, become even more blissful because one feels even more love and affection and surrender, which increases the relationship even more. Therefore, when the devotees find themselves in a distressful position serving Krishna, it gives them even more pleasure. One devotee, he said he went into the forest to pick flowers for Krishna, and the sun was beaming down on him very intensely, but he was feeling it just like blissful, like soothing rays, because he was, in his consciousness, he was serving Krishna, trying to please Krishna. So that's spiritual consciousness. So at the end, Arjuna says, my illusion has been dispelled, I've regained my mercy, my memory by your mercy, and now I'm going to do something to please you. Just to please you. It's not pleasing externally, materially, but if it's going to please you, then I'm going to do it with full conviction. Because Arjuna got the experience of Krishna consciousness, how nice it is to serve Krishna. So at least theoretically, we have to understand it's nice, and then try to apply it, and understand if it's not so nice, it's because I'm not really applying it with full determination, with full understanding, with full conviction. So therefore, we have to not only try to do and do and do and expect Krishna to give me something back. I have to do and do, and then therefore try to develop some appreciation and love at the same time. Krishna consciousness is not meant so that we can figure out how Krishna can love me and serve me, that I'm doing some service to invoke Krishna's love. Get his mercy. Now his mercy is when we invoke our own love. Krishna already loves us. The question is, who do we love besides this body and my mind and my senses? Oh, we have to try to do something to please Krishna, to love Krishna, do something that Krishna wants. With the idea of just pleasing Krishna and give up all these other motivations and conceptions that there's something nicer than that to please Krishna. So Yogamaya is a good example, someone who just does her service to please Krishna. She's not in the army, in one sense. She does it because she feels love and happiness by doing it. But that may not be apparent in our service because we have so many other reasons why we're doing it. And therefore, there's love there, there's happiness there, but it's also some anxiety we add onto it by our material conceptions and attachments to what we're doing. So that gradually can be purified by understanding, and therefore try out being a loving servant to Krishna, an obedient servant to Krishna, and see what happens. And if you don't like it, we can just go back to our normal state of illusion. Maya is always willing to accept us. She is very kind to us. So she can kick us back to Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. We don't really know, maybe we don't really understand what it means to be self-realized, can we still quote that we are not this body? Because sometimes it seems I have a doubt about that, because sometimes I see that some people, they may not show the symptoms, or at least that's how I understand it, but they still say, no, we are not this body, you should see me as like a soul, or in this sense.
Well, we have enough intelligence to understand it, of course we can say it. Now, if I was a dog, and I woofed, and I'm not this body, but I don't have enough intelligence to understand it, just blindly repeating. But we have enough intelligence to understand how the body's changing. We're not changing. It's our most direct experience that we have. If we don't have that much intelligence, it means we're on the level of the animals. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, when you said that we should, when we read Bhagavad Gita, that we should know what to look for in Bhagavad Gita, what we should find. You say so many things, humbleness, service attitude, Krishna is God, this and that. What we should be looking for when you open Bhagavad Gita?
Well, those are all good. Those are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita.
Sorry?
Those are all good. They're all mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Choose any one of them. Real humility, real knowledge about Krishna. Those are all. If we know Krishna, then we know everything. So find out about Krishna. That's the iti yomameva asamudo janati purushottama sasaravit bhajante mam sarabhave nabharata. Anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. So the main thing is to find out about Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, and then everything else will be revealed. If we perform devotional service, try to please Krishna, then everything else will be revealed to us.
As we understand Krishna more and more, everything would be revealed.
Understanding is the first thing. Well, second thing. First is hear about Krishna, understand about Krishna, become convinced, be determined to serve Krishna, do service with great skill and devotion, and then develop all the characteristics and qualities of a pure devotee. And then we become like Krishna, and then Krishna can reveal himself to us gradually in that progress.
At the end of the lecture, you mentioned about appreciation and love to Guru and to Krishna. And my specific
I have experience of appreciation to Guru Maharaj, but about love, is love when we are willing to do anything Guru Maharaj? Is that sign of love?
I know appreciation is the beginning of love. If you appreciate someone, there's some element of love. As far as what the final product is, to do anything, well, I don't know. That the Krishna doesn't ask us to do anything, everything. He asks us to do certain things. So to be willing to do what Krishna asks us to do, those certain things. He doesn't ask us to jump off buildings usually. So if he said jump off the building, he wouldn't do that. So we have to have some faith. He's going to ask us to do things which will be beneficial for us and for others too. Not just anything.
I have no vision what would be love.
Of course we don't, because we're conditioned souls. But if we have a little bit of paying attention to something, we know that at least we feel less distress. So we find something which is which attracts our mind steadily, and we can absorb our mind in it, then that's the beginning of love, attention.
I only want to share my realization. Years ago, I began to visit Namahata first time. They came in Sevilla from the temple, and I like bhajans like the sadhan. But when they began to read Bhagavad Gita, I was surprised. I didn't understand nothing. What they want to tell me. And it was very interesting. What is this possible? Because I finished school, I study, I know Slovenian language, but I have no concept of God and Krishna. No, like you said at the beginning, I was going to accept Krishna as God and then at the beginning.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what is possible. What they talk. And then I bought the Bhagavad Gita at home, reading. I was completely...
Therefore, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by chanting the holy name, we get in contact with the spiritual energy. And in the spiritual atmosphere of the holy name, some awakening of knowledge can be there. So, in that we can get some experience, and therefore it develops our faith. And therefore we pay more attention and try to, because we can read, but reading is not sufficient. We also have to assimilate the knowledge, see it from different perspectives. If I'm this body, if there's actually a controller of the universe, if the controller of the universe is a person, you know, etc. So that takes some assimilation, not just hearing, but also try to understand it from the different perspectives. And then try to change our values. Because unless we change our values, then we can't really get conviction. Well, even we see things, but we have to act according to them. So that means a change of value, a change in inspiration, etc. That's all under conviction. So then if we change our values and our inspiration, and our then based upon our perspective, then we get a little hint of what actually reality is, and then we can try to apply it, and not only in exchanges with Krishna, the deity, or the spiritual master, but also in all living exchanges with the devotees, loving exchanges, skillfully become a devotee, so that we be a devotee 24 hours a day, not just sometimes. And then, by becoming into the fire of devotional service, we develop all the good qualities of a pure devotee, and we actually enter into the not only the name, form, qualities, but also into the everything becomes part of the pastime. Our life becomes part of Krishna's pastimes. So it's a gradual progress. Anything else? Hvala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.